Hi, I'm Ashley Deserick, and today I'm interviewing my dad on September 11, 2001, based off of my living history project for U.S. History.
So I'm Jerome Deserick, Ashley's dad, and I'm 51 years old, and I have a big connection to September 11th, 2001.
So we're going to start with kind of the biggest question that I'm asking in this interview, which is, how have you been directly affected by 9/11? And so I'm going to ask a few questions kind of based off of, like more specific questions kind of based off of 9/11. But feel free to break from these questions and talk about kind of what's most important to you or what kind of you have a connection to.
Okay, that works.
So we'll start with, have you ever been to New York City?
I have. The first time that I was in New York City was actually on August 23rd, 2001, which was 19 days before September 11th. I actually have an ID that I saved from that day because I visited not only New York City, but I visited the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And I was on the 99th floor, and I have my ID here, along with my itinerary for that day of travel. So I wanted to show you that, because I think it's a big part of that day. Mm-hmm. So the reason I was there was I worked for a company named Marsh McLennan. Now they call us Marsh. And I was there meeting, I met a lot of people that I used to talk to and email with, like, all the time. The functions that were in the World Trade Center were things like accounting and technology and other types of service support group type, you know, positions and people. And so people I had talked to for years before, you know, because I started in I can't remember what year I started in, but I had talked to him for like 5 or 6 years before I even got around to meeting them. But the purpose of me being in New York City at that time is I was working on this accounts payable project. And so we had to all get together in the World Trade Center because the main group who was kicking it all off and were starting the project. So that we all had flown in from other cities, and I got to meet a lot of different people for the first time. They didn't really live there. And I specifically remember, so like I said, I was on the 99th floor, and that's a point you'll understand as we kind of go on with the interview. But I remember meeting the tax people whom I talked to a lot during certain times of the year, and great people. And I remember being on their floor, and I remember being inside the World Trade Center, and I specifically remember looking out the north side of the building. So I looked north and just noticed how beautiful it was. I mean, we were anywhere between the 93rd and the 99th floor. I can't exactly remember which floor that tax group was on. But I remember specifically looking out that window. And you'll understand why I'm bringing it up. And I remember that the inside of the building itself, it was quite the different concept, because the windows were almost like ceiling to floor. So you could see out them. Like, it was amazing. I'd never seen a building like that before. And, you know, I've learned a lot more about the construction of it since that I may not have ever known. But that was the kind of the reason I was there. And then, you know, I left and I came home. And that was my first time ever in New York City. And yeah, it was a good time meeting those people there.
So you said you had worked with them through emails and phone calls, but you never met them in person?
I never met them in person.
And then you met them...
Right. I got to go... got to shake their hand. I got to hear about their families for the first time. I got to meet one guy whose, you know, dad worked there too. I didn't know that. I knew him. I knew talking to him, but I never knew his dad worked there too. And so it was just really cool. I heard about another guy. I met another guy whom his wife was pregnant, and they were expecting their first baby within a few weeks. And so I remember talking to him and you know, getting to know him a little bit, but not like super well. But I remember those, that was the biggest things. I kind of remember just meeting the new people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool.
And how long were you in New York City for that trip?
Good question. I feel like it was almost like a 2-day trip. Yeah, I came in on a Wednesday and I left late on a Thursday. So yeah, I was there for 1 day. Mm-hmm. A day and a half, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I actually stayed. I didn't remember this, but on my itinerary, I actually stayed in the Marriott that was in World Trade Center 3. So it was World Trade Center 1, mm-hmm. 2, and then the shorter, smaller buildings on the mm-hmm. outside. I stayed in those buildings, and I don't think those buildings survived either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had actually completely forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Things I forgot about it all.
So what were you doing at the exact time that 9/11 was happening? So like, how did you find out about it, and kind of what were you doing at that exact time?
Whew. That was an interesting day. It really was. I had an interview that I went to that day,
mm-hmm.
with a company called Kemper Insurance. And I could not tell you even what the job was about. I can remember showing up early and it'll fill out whatever paperwork they need filled out. I remember sitting in their lobby, and they had this really tiny small TV that was up in the corner. And I remember it because it was 2001, so the technology isn't anything like it is now. So it was kind of small, a little grainy, but, you know, it didn't really have sound on. It was just this TV. And I remember sitting there filling out my application, and I started to just kind of notice there was just a lot of people moving around. Like, and I didn't, you know, it was, I know it was, because of what the planes hit at 7:45 our time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I thought, oh, well, people are just showing up for work. And then I looked up at the TV, and I saw a picture of the World Trade Center burning. Like, whoa. And because I had just been there 19 days before, I kind of like, wow. And so as people were coming out of their offices and whatnot, I could hear them chattering about a plane that hit the World Trade Center. Everybody that I had heard, they all thought it was just a small plane. I think that was the first thing that came out. It was a small plane, didn't seem to be that big of a deal. It just seemed like a small plane. So I really didn't think anything of it, and I was just watching the TV. And then I got called in for my interview. So I remember being in the interview with this man. He was an older gentleman. And I remember sitting there just, you know, answering interview questions. You know, what did you do? Going, you know, I gave him my resume, you know, things like a normal interview. I remember being able to see outside his office. So it had a glass kind of window in the door, and the door was shut. But I could remember seeing more people running back. Like, you could tell that there was something going on, because the way you could just tell the people's faces there was something going on. And then I kept thinking about what I had heard someone say, that the World Trade Center got hit. And then I thought about all the people I had just met, you know, 19 days before. So I really wasn't too much into the interview. I was there physically, but I don't think mentally I started to kind of check out. And then I think someone came in to tell the guy that something had happened in New York City, and then they left. And then by then, my mind just totally, I just basically shut down. I don't know which one of us actually stopped the interview. I felt like I did. I felt like I just said that, you know what? I know a lot of people in that building. I need to figure out what's going on. And I felt like I wish I would have journaled more that day or something, but I felt like I stopped the interview, and I felt like, and then I was just done. I don't remember saying thank you. I never followed up with a guy. They never followed up with me. And so that job interview basically didn't go anywhere. I wasn't too far from home. And so that morning, I remember calling your mom on one of the biggest cell phones you'd probably ever seen in your life. But it was quite the technology was so different then than it is now. And I remember asking her to turn on the TV. And I remember how quiet she was when she was witnessing the burning building on September 11th. I told her I was going to get home as soon as I could. And I did. And I remember being home, and I remember your mom crying. I remember just learning more about it. You were upstairs sleeping. You were taking your morning. You were still sleeping. Either you had already been up and ate and went back to sleep. I can't remember. But you weren't downstairs. You were up in your room. And I just remember sitting there with your mom and just crying, because it was just, we were realizing how bad it really was. And I remember trying to remember if the second plane had hit, and I don't feel like I was home yet. And I think then that's when your mom, that's right. I think your mom had to tell me that the second plane had hit the other tower.
The north?
It would have been the south tower, I think. Mm. And, well, I know it was World... I say I only knew him as World Trade Center 1 and World Trade Center 2. And then World Trade Center 1 was the one that was hit first.
Which is the one that you
visited. The one that I visited. And so I just remember seeing that. I remember being with your mom watching the TV when it collapsed. I don't feel like I ever felt any more, I felt any more numb than I ever felt in my entire life on that moment when I watched that building go down. And I was thinking about all the people that I had just met. And, I just remember disbelief. I couldn't believe that it was really happening. Then as we started getting more information about the plane and where it hit. I don't know if you knew this, but when the plane hit, the first plane hit, it hit the north side of the tower. Remember what I said earlier, that I was looking out that window?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was standing and looking out the very same window that the plane hit. because the plane hit the Marsh's floors.
The ones that you were on?
The ones that were I was on. It hit the floor that I was meeting people for the first time. And one of my most favorite guys, he was in the tax department, and he was Art Scullin. Art would come to Chicago once a year, tax time. And we'd go out to dinner, and we'd just have a great time. He was an older gentleman, but just so funny and smart. We'd have great conversations, and I remember visiting in his office, which his office was on the north side, the north corner of the building. So I can only imagine that he went to work super early all the time. And he was probably on the phone with a client or with someone when that plane hit. That, when I found out that what floor the plane hit, and that I was like on that floor 19 days before, that hit me hard. It hit me emotionally. That part really haunted me for years, and I'll tell you more about that. But I just feel like that it was an emotional time for me. And then I remember, you know, your mom and I glued to the TV the whole time, just like the rest of the country, watching this unfold, and just thinking about who was there, who wasn't there. I determined that when it was kind of all said and done, that there were 2,996 people who died that day, right? 295 of them were Marsh employees, people I worked with, you know, they worked for the same company. So 295, which is just about 10%. It's close, 9.8%. I went through the list of those 295 people like so many times after that. And I determined that out of the people I had just met and the people that I worked with, I knew about 30 of them. Which to me, that was about 1% of everybody who died that day. I had some kind of working relationship with them. And it was sad. So obviously that was, you know, I didn't know any of that on September 12th. September 12th, I went to work. Because I needed to have information. I needed to understand who was in the building. Because they weren't quite all there. Some people were there, some people weren't. I remember being at work. And I remember we'd have prayer circles, which just didn't talk about religion. You just didn't do those things. But it's just like we just invited people that wanted to sit in a prayer circle. And and we would just stand around and just cry and pray and hope that anybody we knew had survived. I had kind of a leadership position. I had about 20 people reporting to me at that time. And I remember taking a piece of paper on a wall, or taking a piece of paper and I taped it up on the wall. And on that piece of paper, every time we found out if someone, you know, we knew that they had died, we'd put their name up on this piece of paper. And then people would then write messages. And so it was kind of like my way to cope with it and try to understand it. I look back on that, you know, September 11, and then I look back on just how I treated the, you know, being at work and understanding that. I started to realize that, you know, I had left her mom at home. And I checked in with her because she was feeling some of the same things, right? I was feeling some of the little different things, but I think the biggest thing that hit me was that I had been there just 19 days before. And that was, that was tough. It had been, so, you know, some of the stories that I got out of that as I started to gather up things. My previous boss, who used to live in Chicago, and then she moved to New York City. Mm-hmm. Her name was Denise. She told me the story after I had gotten a hold of her, and I was so excited to hear her voice. Oh my gosh. She told me, she said, Jerome, I got to work early. Not to work early. She got to work a little later than she normally would. I can't even remember the reason. But she said that she was getting ready to walk onto the elevator to basically take her up to the 90, you know, Marshall Street 93 and 99, I think, is her 92 and 99. I don't remember exactly, but point was, she felt a shudder as she was starting to walk on the elevator. And when she realized, she just had this feeling not to get on the elevator, so she turned around and she walked out.
Oh my God.
And she walked back to the lobby. And then when all the, you know, things started hitting the roof because there were pieces, and just, she just knew that she needed to get out of there. So she did. And she just went home. I don't feel like she was down there when the building collapsed, but she was there, getting ready to go up to the floor minutes before the plane hit. So she's been like...
But how did she... So she just... You said she heard the shudder?
Yeah, so when the plane hit...
Yeah.
It just... It made a noise, and it kind of shook the building a little bit.
And that's where she was like, oh, I shouldn't get on the elevator.
Yeah, there was something saying, just don't get on the elevator.
So the planes hit and then she left.
Correct. The planes had hit and she started to get on the elevator.
And then she had the feeling not to get on.
And she had a feeling to not get on. Exactly. So that was like one story that I heard. I had another, I had two other people whom were there. His name was Jim Story and Kathy Bantis. Kind of like two of my most favorite people at Marsh at the time. Considered them almost like a mentor. One of them lived in... Well, Jimmy lived in Texas. Where'd Kathy live? But Kathy lived in like Ohio or something.
Were they married?
No. Oh. They were... No, Kathy and Jim were just coworkers, and they had been there for some other meetings. And the story that I found out was that they were having breakfast together on the very top of, I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but it was the very top of one of the two restaurants, or one of the two towers.
Okay.
And they perished because anybody above the floors that of where it hit, nobody got down. There's no stories of anyone who got down. So all I could think about is those two who had quite the... They were... How should I say? They were rough people, meaning they would have, you know, said, what the hell is that? You know, they would have said something kind of weird because they were just very... they were great people, but I learned a ton from them, and I was so sad when I heard that they were among the 30 people that I knew. Then remember the fellow that I told you about that I met whose wife was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
That day, his daughter decided to be born. So he didn't go to the office. Otherwise, he would have been there super early because it was a very busy time of the year. So because his daughter was born early, I don't know if it was early or the day, I don't recall that. But he didn't go to work. Talk about, like, a bundle of joy that just saved his life. Otherwise, he would have been at work. His name is escaping me, but he's actually written up in the Wall Street Journal.
And you met him?
Yep, I remember meeting him. And he was in the Wall Street Journal giving that recount of that day. So I also had a friend of mine who lived here in Chicago. It was actually an ex-girlfriend, but you know, we won't go there. So she just a nice person, and she, when I knew her here in Chicago, she had just bought a Ford Mustang. You ever see one of those Ford Mustangs? It was a really nice car. She let me drive it once, come on. So she ended up moving to New York City, and she drove the car there and found out much later, after I was just kind of checking in on anyone I knew in New York City, found out that her car was parked somewhere close by, and it was basically crushed by the falling building, so she never got her car back.
Because, so you drove in the car that was crushed by a building?
Yes, and I had not remembered that until I was thinking about this interview and trying to, you know, come up with stories that I remember from that time. And you remember the father-son?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they died. The father died because they were both there. They would go to work together.
Oh, I don't remember that, actually.
Yeah, so when I was talking about when I visited there, I met one of these guys. His name was Jason Coffey, and Jason's dad worked there, and they both died that day.
Were they together?
I don't feel like they worked in the same area, but they worked for the same company. So it was, you know, obviously all the stories you don't really find until, you know, later. And then when I started to tally up the numbers and everything else, and I realized that, I realized how many people I knew. It was tough.
Is there anything else you want to add about your experience, or kind of your connection to 9/11?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think some of the hardest things for me, like every September 11, for a good, I was like 7 or 8 years, that day, I cried every day, every anniversary. Other times before, in between all that, it's just that particular day I'd wake up and the emotion would just come flying back. And I remember your mom just hugging me because I always try to figure out whether or not me being there 19 days before, had I not done that, how would I have reacted? But I kept going back to that. I was there 19 days before when any of this could have happened. And I would have been on those floors. I would have been right there.
And you said they were on the floors that got hit?
Yes. No one who went to work that day survived. No one. Everyone who was there died. Everyone who was at work died.
Do you think, like, so you said you were looking out the window. Was it like an open space?
Yeah.
Or were there a lot of buildings next to them?
Oh, no, it was a wide open space. Why? Because we were on the 99th floor, so okay. It was we're seeing over the top of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Could see the Empire State Building, you know, the way that I was looking out. And I just thought it was the coolest thing to be up that high, because I'd never been up that high in a building before. So it was just really, it was cool looking out the window. That's why I remember that distinct looking out that window. And I think it's, I think the memory of that, the memory of seeing the plane hit over and over and over and over again on the TV, and then the fact that I was there 19 days prior, it really shook me up. I really struggled with whether I needed to talk to somebody, because it really, even now I can't watch a documentary without crying, and it's, look how much longer it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was at.
So I guess the next big question, mm-hmm, is, how has your life been affected since 9/11? So we talked a little bit about that.
Yes.
With kind of how every 9/11 is for you.
Yes.
But I guess, are you still, or do you, are you still in touch with anyone?
So, not as much as I would have thought, but I think for years afterwards, we had this extra connection. I still talk to a couple people from that day, from Marsh that I worked with here in Chicago. I feel a great tie to some people because of that, you know, because she worked with the same people that I worked with, and so she knew a lot of people there too, so
mm-hmm,
we talk about it when we get together for lunch twice a year, mm-hmm, on our birthdays or for our birthdays, and we still talk about it years later, this many years
was
later.
Was this Denise?
No, not Denise, it was Jane.
Oh.
Jane Wallin.
And what was I gonna ask?
Mm-hmm.
So no one survived at Marsh in the Twin Towers?
No, no one. Anybody who was at work that day did not survive.
Yeah.
The 295 people, they said that, because when the plane hit, it just, I don't even know if they ever found their bodies. I don't know anything, mm-hmm, about that. But
mm-hmm.
So Marsh actually has, you can see, a tribute, mm-hmm, to them. If you go to their Marsh tribute, 9/11 tribute, they have a, all their names, and then like I can click on them, which I did before this, and I can look at their pictures. And they haven't changed, because nothing's changed, because I still just can't believe some of them are not there. Looked up my friend Art, he was on there, and it was like, sad.
So have you ever been back to New York since the attacks?
I went back for the first time in 2014. Was the first time I went back, and I went back for work, which I didn't work for Marsh at that point in time, and then I went out a day earlier than I needed to, and I went to the September 11 memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Ash, I can tell you that I went by myself. And I spent 2.5 hours, I believe, in this museum, or this memorial. And I cried, like, the whole entire time. Like, I had to go buy water because I was dehydrated. I cried so much. I sat on a bench, and it had all the pictures of everyone who died. All of them. And then you could actually focus in on Marsh, because there were two companies whom, you know, Cantor Fitzgerald, they lost, how many people did they lose? They lost 658 people that day. And Marsh lost 295. So you could go in and look at Marsh, and you could see all their pictures. They put it, projected them up on a wall. And so I got to see them all. And that, to me, was just all the emotions that I was telling you about. It came rushing back to me that day I visited the museum, or the memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. They did such a great job in preserving those people and what they did.
Mm-hmm. So terrorism was obviously something that most people in the United States had never seen before, at least to this extent. So after 9/11 happened, a lot of security measures were taken, mm-hmm. Specifically the TSA and the Department of Homeland Security,
yep.
and also the U.S. Patriot Act, right. as well. So what, either these or any other ones, what specific security measures have you noticed?
So, I think that, you know, even today when I fly, even when we flew 2 weekends ago, you know, you kind of go through and you kind of look at all the lines you have to stand in and all these other things, and you're just kind of like, yeah, it's a nuisance, but it's got to, we got to do it. We got to be able to secure our, you know, transportation, our planes and everything else so that doesn't happen again. So I applaud the government for, you know, acting fast and getting together some form of, you know, administration that can help protect us. I mean, that's what they're there for. They're there to help and protect us. So, and, you know, I think all the other little maybe spy things that they do, if you want to, you know, like monitoring cell phones and things like that, I think it's the right thing to do. There's a lot of people who disagree with me. There's a lot of people who would agree with me. I would rather feel safer than have someone, than worry about someone listening to my conversation that I'm having with somebody, because I can frankly say they don't care about anything I have to say. And so those are the types of things that I think have changed, and I think they're changed. I was about ready to say for the better, but I'm not sure that really sounds right. They changed because they had to.
Mhm. Mhm. Did you notice any other changes within, like, American attitudes towards terrorism, or any other differences in the United States after 9/11?
Yeah. So, 9/11, you had that, and then, you know, all the technology changes, and now we've got, you know, it's like terrorism all over the place, because it's just like the news people can tell you more about it, and. So I think it's more Americans notice it, but I think it's really because of that day. Mm-hmm. It really, that put it to the forefront, and it never left.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I kept coming back to, even though I felt scared, even though I might have felt, you know, whatever, I just think that if I stopped living my life, the terrorists won. And so I never like I went to New York and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to New York City. Because I did not go there before that, because I just didn't have any reason to go. But I didn't think about it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to do all these things, and I'm not going to let some terrorist in some other country dictate how my life is going to be lived. And so, and I feel like that the government's there to help protect me.
Mm-hmm. So after the planes hit the towers, the government responded very quickly by kind of assessing the situation and then aiding people.
Mm-hmm.
In New York City, giving, yep. them kind of the direct support they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the government and the Bush administration handled the attacks well? And do you think they could have responded in a different way? A big question.
Yeah, it is a big question. You know what? I guess when you're dealt with what they were given at that time, I would have to say that I think they handled it right. I think they did what they could do. They obviously worried about, let's find survivors, and they worried about that. And was there any other planes? The most amazing thing too, it just hit me, just the amount of time it took for them to take all the airplanes in the sky and bring them down to an airport,
mm-hmm.
it was amazing. I remember hearing about that, you know, times later when, you know, you're watching more, but the amount of airplanes that were in the air and the ability of the government to make the decision to pull all the planes out of the sky and get them on the ground. Because the next thing that you were going to do, if there's a plane still flying, I remember they were making the decision whether they were going to end up shooting it down. But in this case, you know, one went in that field, and the other one hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. So there were four planes.
Yeah.
Two hit the towers, one hit the Pentagon, and the other one was trying to go somewhere but landed.
No, it crashed because, if I remember the story right, the
mm-hmm.
passengers overtook
mm-hmm.
the pilot, and then the pilot just slammed the plane into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like chicken. So yeah, I had a lot of connections to this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably more than you ever knew.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You didn't really know. I didn't really talk about that much.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
That's why when I told you, yeah.
So last question.
Yep.
Do you think 9/11 caused you to look differently on the world today?
Yeah, it did. And I'm just like, you know, you try to see the good in people, but you know that the evil's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just evil. It was just plain evil.
Mm-hmm.
What they did.
Mm-hmm.
And very chicken. Very just...
And also even without a reason.
Right. Well, they had a reason that was in their own head that seemed right.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the brainwashed idea into their heads.
Reason.
Yeah,
it was their reason, but for us, it wasn't a reason. It was just dumb.
No. And or like, the U.S. didn't do anything to cause them. It's just something on their side that they thought was their reason, but
correct. Really
right. Not. A reason.
Right.
Is there any final statements you have, or are there any that you want to say?
Well, other than, you know, I kind of already mentioned the fact that, you know, don't live in the fear of having terror in the world. You need to just live. You need to trust that governments are doing their job. All governments. So if you're traveling overseas, you're doing something else outside the United States, you just got to trust that other governments are doing the same things we are. And just know that you need to understand what your surroundings are, but don't live in fear. Don't mm-hmm. live in fear.
Okay, well, thank you for being interviewed on this, because I know it's a hard topic to talk about for 40 minutes.
Well, yeah, it's just a hard topic to talk about.
Yes.
Almost cried a couple times.
Yes, but thank you for sitting here and talking about it.
You're welcome, Ashley. I'm uh-huh. glad you actually learned something.
Yes.
Something from me, so.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Goodbye.